high, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and we exalt you on this morning, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for your word, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that's refreshing, Heavenly Father, Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and it's healing and it brings about deliverance, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray that as I speak this morning, that I completely yield to you, Heavenly
yes,
Father,
Lord.
Lord God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you only, Heavenly Father, Lord God, as I speak the oracles of God, Heavenly Father, and I thank you that our eyes and our ears and hearts are open to receive all that you have to say, Heavenly Father, Lord God.
Yes.
Whether it be in my notes or not, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God. I yield to you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and give you praise, honor, and glory in
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Go all the way. So let's go to Genesis 22:1-9. And I know we There will be times where maybe God will ask us to surrender and give up some things, even if it's a short period of time. And then there'll be other times where he tells us to give up things for good altogether. Amen. Yeah. To give up our entire lives. We're to give our entire lives to the Lord at all costs, denying ourselves and laying it all down and surrendering everything to him.
Yeah.
Every part of us. Let's go to Romans 12. It's actually in your bulletin. And we're going to read 1 and 2, and then I'm going to read the Amplified Version as well. Yes. It's on the front of your bulletin, if you all have it. Dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. I'm just going to stop right there at verse 1, because it says, as a lift your whole, your entire body, dedicating your entire self to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself set apart. And we know that we are spirit beings, and we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, so which are in these bodies. And as we present our entire bodies, we're presenting all of us in everything, and we're separating ourselves and surrendering our lives as a living sacrifice so that we can please the Lord in all that we do. We are a living sacrifice. We give our entire lives so that he can get glory, honor, and praise out of our lives. And then the second verse, it says, and be not conformed to this world. I'm going to read the Amplified. Any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. So as we surrender and as we renew our minds, we are progressively changed. As we focus, and it says, by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Our denying and our taking up and following him is all about his plans being fulfilled in our lives and giving him all of us, all of who we are. And I know sometimes we think we surrendered all or we surrendered a situation, but I know you all have experienced where, you know, something pokes you and then that situation comes back up. I had a situation this week at work. I was at a meeting and I had two ladies, one in front of me and one to my right, and we were waiting for someone else. And they were talking about our merge. We've merged a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, and so there are two people from two different agencies, and they were talking about the effects, you know, from the merge, and they're kind of voicing their frustrations, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying not to voice anything, but I can actually feel it coming up. I can feel it coming up, and I started the same thing, voicing my frustration, and as I was voicing my frustration, I could hear the Holy Spirit say to me, all you did was suppress it. You did not give it to me. You didn't pray about it. All you did was suppress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and suppressing is not releasing. It is not surrendering. God wants us to give every situation, all situations to him, regardless of what the situation is. We are to give everything to him. Everything to him. So that we can be free to worship him. You know, and be free in him. Amen. My second point I want to make is to obey. Whatever he says, does, however he says it, just like Abraham did, we are always to obey. No matter the cost, we are always to obey. Do what he tells you to do, how he tells you to do it, when he tells you to do it, as soon as he tells you to do it. You know, as soon as he tells you to do it. Because true obedience is not obedient, is not real obedience unless you do it as soon as he tells you to do it.
Yeah.
Regardless, and when he tells us to do something, he's already given us the grace to do it and the grace to handle it no matter what the situations are. You know, he's already given us the empowerment regardless of what it is, no matter how painful it is. No matter what it is, as soon as he tells us to deal with a situation, mm-hmm. we're to deal with it. As soon as he tells us to go and repent or forgive someone or apologize to them, that is what we're supposed to do as soon as he tells us to do it. One of the when I think about obeying, I want to talk about chastisement because I know Ebony touched on it last week, and I want to kind of further talk about chastisement because a lot of times we're obedience and when we're hearing the voice of the Lord and when he's searching our hearts, he's chastising us. You know, even when I'm sitting in a meeting, when he said, "You didn't give it to me, you just suppressed it." You know, that was just chastisement. We know that God chastised us with his word. Amen.
Yeah.
It's his word that he uses to chastise us. He doesn't flog us or spank us, you know, with a belt, even though it may be painful, but he does chastise us with his word. So I have three scriptures that I want us to take a look at. One is Revelation 3:19. The other is Job 5:17-18, if someone can get that one. And then I also have Hebrews 12:4-11. Now, Revelation 3, I know that's the one that Ebony touched on last week when she talked about us being a house, making us a house, building up our house, you know, but before we can build up our house, sometimes we need to get rid of some stuff, or we need to surrender some stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
There's a song that I like that's by United Pursuit, and it's called Nothing Without You. And in the song, the words are, "Oh God, peel back the layers of my heart." You know, because we know that we have layers, you know, on our hearts. As we, when we don't surrender, we're just piling up on the layers of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things that hinder us from having a relationship with him, those that things that hinder us from completely seeing him and hearing from him, there's just layers upon layers of our on our hearts that God needs to. We need to allow him to pull back. Amen?
Amen.
So, who has Revelation 3:19? Mother Lula?
As many as I love, rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in.
Amen. Go, keep on going. Go to 20.
To him that overcometh will grant to sit with me in my, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Amen. Amen. I'm actually going to read that same passage in the Amplified Version. It says, "Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I rebuke and discipline, showing them their faults and instructing them. So be enthusiastic and repent. Change your inner self restore him, and he with me. He who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant him the privilege to sit beside me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down beside my Father on his throne.
Amen.
So we see here that God chastens those that he loves, and it's all about instruction, giving us the instruction so that we can go forth and do like Pastor Tayo said, so we can say, Lord, use me I'm here for you.
I'm available for you.
Thank you. I'm available for you. But in order for us to be truly available and to him, and truly for him, for others to see him in us, we have to receive the chastisement, and we have to surrender to that. Amen.
Yeah.
Whatever he tells you to do, do it. However it looks, no matter how hard it is. So who has Job 5:17-18?
I'll read it. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
It says, behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Happy is the man whom God corrected. Why should we be happy? Anybody want to say? Exactly, because he means he loves us, and he does not want us to remain the same.
That's right. Amen.
He wants us delivered, healed, and set free so we can go and do his bidding. And we can't go and do his bidding unless we are set free.
Amen.
We can't go with a bunch of garbage, because you know when you deal with people, especially with hurting people, and you hear them and you look at them, and you can see and feel the hurt as soon as they, and you know that they're hurting. You know, but we as believers can come the same way, the same hurt, but we have to surrender, and we have to release, and we have to receive the chastisement of the Lord. When he tells you to repent, when he tells you to forgive, you do it.
Yeah.
You know, when he tells you to release and let go, you do it.
Amen.
When he tells you not to take offense, don't take offense. Don't give any offense. Regardless of the situation, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes I think, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, when we pray for other people, especially when it's our family members, and we're praying for them, maybe because of the way they treat us, or how they hurt us, and we're praying. Sometimes I think our prayers with the wrong motivation, because it's all about us. It is not supposed to be about us. You know, God said that we would suffer long. He said that we would have to deal with. It's not about us. It's about them receiving the peaceable fruits of righteousness. It's not about. It's about their relationship with God, making sure that they have a godly relationship, just like we make sure that we have a godly relationship.
Yes.
It's not about us. Now, I believe that their change is a byproduct of them receiving and knowing God. That's the fruit of it. But it's really not about us. When we go to the Father on the behalf of our family members, husbands, children, whatever, it's so that they will have a righteous relationship with God, and they will walk in holiness. Amen. And they will serve the Lord with their whole hearts. And then they will surrender unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And then they will give their whole hearts to the Lord.
Yeah.
And then they will deal with the issues of their hearts. You know, it's not about us. It's not. Even though we get the brunt of it, it's not about you. It's not. It's not about you. It really is not. It's about their relationship with God. It's about them. Before I married my husband, I used to pray for him all the time. And I was praying for his relationship with God. I wouldn't think about him, you know, in terms of marriage, but I was praying that he would have the relationship with God, that a surrendered life, a holy life unto the Lord, you know, for himself, his family, his children, for everybody, so that they will see the peaceable fruits of righteousness in and on his life. Amen. I always think about, you know, especially when it comes to our children, I've said to my daughter, I do this so you won't bust hell wide open.
I know.
You know, and we do it so they don't bust hell wide open.
Right.
You know, it's not about us. It's not about us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to Hebrews 12. We're going to go to 4. there whom his father does not discipline. Now, if you are exempt from correction and without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then are you illegitimate children and not sons at all. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we submitted and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more willingly submit to the Father of spirits and live by learning from his discipline? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose. Amen. So we see here that it really profits us to receive the chastisement and to be quick with the chastisement and dealing with it, because it makes us partakers of his holiness. Amen. And we yield peaceable fruits of righteousness when we allow God, or when we deal with that chastisement, or what does the scripture say? When we exercise, when the fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. I'm going to read, so in Hebrews 12:11, the chastening refers to disciplinary actions that lead your life to a betterment, or for your instruction. And when the discipline process is in full force, it does not seem joyous, but rather grievous. And grievous, we know, means serious or severe. I can remember one time, I felt like God was always chastising me, and I can remember being at work. I actually stood up and said, "There's about 20 other people. I don't think I should." Don't you see somebody else? But I can hear the Holy Spirit was constantly convicting me, like almost it was like over and over. But it wasn't even the same stuff. It was like after I dealt with one thing, here comes something else. Because you know what? After you surrender one thing, then here comes something else. And after you deal with this one thing, it was so loud. And I got up, I said, "Lord." And I sat kind of in the back. I was like, there are like other people. Are you talking to somebody else? If I'm that bad? This was a long, long, long time ago. But I know you all know who I feel. I know there are other people who have felt the same thing, where you're constantly having to. And I think that, you know, in terms of surrendering, we have big surrenders. You know, I surrender all. You know, we have big surrenders. Or, you know, even when it comes to rededicating our lives to Christ, that's a big surrender. You know, and then we have those daily pick up your cross surrenders that he tells us to do every day. Where every day we're giving our lives to him. And every day we're seeking his face to know what he would have us to do and what we need to deal with. And you know yourself. You know, there have been times where I had to ask the Lord, "Okay, I know I had this issue. Can you show me the root? Or better yet, just get rid of it." You know, I've had those times, because you know you. And especially if you keep experiencing the same thing over and over and over and over again.
That's right.
That's not a coincidence. There's something wrong there. Something to that.
Yeah.
And you have to surrender your entire life. Allow him to search your heart. And Deuteronomy, I think it's 36, it says, and I have it here, you all don't have to turn to it. It says that the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
Yeah.
He cuts out those things from our hearts so that we can love him,
Amen.
So that we can serve him, and so that we can live completely for him.
Nice.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Go back to my original notes. In Hebrews 12:11 also says, the discipline will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Yeah. And the word exercise is the Greek word for gymnazo. It's gymnazo. And the word gymnazo gives
word was used, the ancient word used to portray the athletes who exercise and train and prepare for competition in the often the barbaric athletic games in the ancient times. That's where we get the word gymnasium from. And it really describes someone who is eager to develop and change and willing to go through whatever the demands are to change, regardless of what it is, to really take the chastening and surrender their entire lives to receive that change, whatever it is, whatever he tells you to do. The difficult thing, because you know the chastening is not always easy, and it's not always, it's never, you know, easy, I should say. It is not always nice, but nonetheless, it's so that we can have the peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Yeah.
And I want to look real quick in Isaiah 32:17. It says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace,
yeah,
and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Forever.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Quietness and assurance forever.
Yeah.
You have an assurance forever.
Amen.
That is the work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness. Amen. Forever. Forever. And when we refuse to obey, that is rebellion. Even if it's in fear, it is still rebellion. We do not get a pass because we're afraid, because he's not giving us the spirit of fear. Regardless of, you don't get a pass for saying I was scared. You know, because you're not given the spirit of fear.
Come on.
You're not. It's rebellion when you don't do it. Even if you're afraid that, oh, they'll just take advantage of me, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Take up your cross and follow.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter.
Good.
Come on.
Thank you.
You know, we suffer long in various areas of our lives. You know, I don't think there's never a time where we're not suffering in some area or dealing with some situation. Take up your cross and follow him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Also, one other point, which is not my last point, but to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. I know that sometimes we do have things that the Lord tells us to deal with, but some things we just don't know how to deal with. So as we spend time praying in the Spirit and spend time with the Holy Spirit, then he will take the thing away. Just remove the appetite for it altogether, where it's no longer a struggle. You don't even think about it. It's just gone. Over the last 2 or 3 years, my mother has lost a lot of weight. And if you ask her how you lose the weight, she's going to tell you because she yields to the Holy Spirit. That's what she's going to say. She said when she sits down to eat, she asks, she prays first and asks the Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, is this something I need? If not, then remove the taste from me.
Amen.
Remove it. My mother has probably lost over 40 pounds in about 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
It wasn't quick. It was a process. You know, but
she
will tell you, you know. And if she buys a cake, and it's a whole cake, she brings it to my house. You know, she takes her small slice and say, here you go. So, but she does. She will tell you. When I asked her, she said that she's tried dieting, which she had. She was on Weight Watchers for years. When I was 10 years old, I remember her losing a lot of weight. And she said she just didn't want to do it anymore. It was just too much. So she said, okay, Holy Spirit, I can't do it. You do it through me. And so she yields to the Holy Spirit where her eating is concerned. And we are to yield to the Holy Spirit where everything is concerned. Everything. Take on all the weights.
Amen.
Not just
that's
the
right.
weights, but the weight.
Right.
Place
that's
their
right.
weights off. Amen. Everything. Everything. Even where I know that I work for behavior health, so we deal with a lot of mental and alcohol or drug abuse situations, and I learned that alcoholism is the hardest, like, addiction to just quit, to break.
Yeah.
You can actually lose your life.
Yeah,
and we've had, I've heard of people, actually it was just an actor who lost his life because he tried to just quit.
Wow.
You know, but we know that by the Holy Spirit, he can take the taste away from
us.
And every effect, amen. Amen, every effect of that.
That's
you
right.
know, all together removed.
to the Lord and we give him everything, that there's a freedom comes with that. I can remember, I'm going to give my testimony, and I might have given it before, when Pastor Lisa asked me about King's Daughters. And I can remember, I said, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And so I told the Lord, okay, I don't want to be a stumbling block, and I don't want nobody's blood on my hands. So if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to surrender all of me. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care how hard it is. And some of the stuff was hard. You know, I had made some vows that I had to break and I had to repent for. At that time, we, for the King's Daughter, we were doing Purity Promise, but we were also doing Undercover. And I tell you, I was at home on the floor. I felt like every day. Either for, because it was Lisa Bevere or John Bevere, whichever one it was at the moment, I felt like I, you know, just completely surrendering my life. And as I said, some things I knew I had issues with, and I just didn't know where it came from or what it was. And once he revealed it to me, I was like, okay, you know, at least I know. It's nothing I can do about because it's from the past. You know, at least I know what it is. And then other things, I said, I had to say, okay, Lord God, you have to remove that from the root, take away the appetite altogether so that I won't desire those things and I won't fall back, you know, and I'll keep moving forward.
Amen.
And pressing forward.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
And I can remember, I mean, it was just one thing after the other, after the other. I ate that word.
Yes.
I watched the videos, over and over again. But at the end, I was so free. I was so free. And it was a freedom that I had never experienced before. And I know I mentioned this before, but I was so free and so delivered that I just couldn't, it was hard to explain. And even when I talk to people about surrendering and the freedom that comes from that, and when you know that you have certain mindsets, or there's certain things about you, and you know that it's hindering you from moving forward in the things of God, or for allowing God to have his way completely in your life, then you have to surrender those things to him. You have to give those things up, no matter what it is. It's not a, well, that's just how I am, and that's just me. And no, that is not acceptable, because it is hindering you from the peaceable fruits of righteousness. It's hindering you from being a blessing to others and bringing about healing and deliverance and salvation to those around you. He cannot work in you and through you freely until you empty out completely, all the time, always. It's a process, taking up your cross daily and following him. I remember during that time, I was even calling up old bosses and apologizing. Not that I had done anything, but just because I had judged them. Because we were doing Undercover, and Undercover is about being under his covering, you know, in
authority,
you know, in the authority at work, and authority in the land, and at home. And I was convicted. I was calling people and emailing people. And it felt a little crazy, but it didn't matter. I just wanted to be free. I just wanted to make sure I was in right standing. I didn't care. I didn't care how it looked. And people looked at me like I was crazy when I told them. They did. Like, you doing what? But I just wanted to be free. I wanted to be clear and free. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. You know? And if I'm going to go, I'm going to go all the way. And I'm going to give you all of me. And I'm not saying that I don't have times where I want to, you know, where it's not a little daunting, but it doesn't matter. You know, I want to go all the way. I want to represent him well, very well in the earth. And I want to be able to do that we called me to do. And I pray that everyone here the same, you know, same surrenderance, same vigor for surrender and vigor for chastisement and receiving that chastisement and exercising it so that we can all yield those peaceable fruits of righteousness in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. peaceful fruits of righteousness, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for you chasing those who you love, Heavenly Father, Lord
God.
So we know, Heavenly Father, that you're chastening, Heavenly Father, is an act.